Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. In our Lenten services this year, we've imagined some reflections of people who were there when Jesus was arrested and crucified. Today, in this last midweek Lenten service, we hear from Joseph of Arimathea, the man who, with Nicodemus, laid the body of Jesus in an earthly tomb after Jesus died on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy follower of Jesus who was also a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council in Jerusalem which first condemned Jesus to death. But Luke, in his gospel, is careful to tell us that Joseph of Arimathea had not been part of the plot or the vote to condemn our Lord. So let us imagine Joseph of Arimathea describing to a group of early Christians what happened when Jesus died and was buried. He's speaking to them as they're gathered for worship in Jerusalem around 6 months after Jesus rose from the dead. Dear followers of Jesus of Nazareth, our crucified, risen Lord, I know that you are gathered here in this little room to pray in the name of Jesus and share with one another some of what you remember Jesus said and did. I'm thankful that you asked me to tell you what I saw and what I did when Jesus died. I know some of you must think that because I'm well off, because God has blessed me not only with wealth but also a seat as one of the 70 members of the Sanhedrin, that I cannot really understand what Jesus means to you. But remember, as Peter often reminds us, God is no respecter of persons. Jesus taught us that we hope in God not because we deserve his help, but rather because he is merciful and forgiving. I need God's mercy and forgiveness for any hope of heaven as much as any of you who are slaves or widows or tax collectors or who have turned from stealing, prostitution, any evil way. Jesus came to save sinners. And I know I am a sinner. I want you to know, though, that just because I sit as a member of the Sanhedrin, which condemned Jesus to death, I did not share in that vote. Nor did I support or take any part in the plot to stir the people up against Jesus or to bribe Judas, the traitor, to betray him. Both Nicodemus and I were very unhappy when we got word of the plot against Jesus. We hoped that it would come to nothing. We intended to warn Jesus, but we thought the plot would not happen, certainly would not happen until after the Passover. And so we neglected to take action. I must confess, we were too hesitant, too afraid. But when we saw how fast things happened with the betrayal, the arrest, the false accusations, the midnight trial before the high priest, we protested as much as we dared. But we were not even notified of the Sanhedrin meeting. We found out by hearsay. When we got there, Caiaphas was already declaring Jesus guilty, and our disapproval, our objections were ignored. I had always thought I had the respect of the other members of the council, but on this subject, I was roundly rejected. They threatened to expel me from their number. My friend Nicodemus, who was also a member of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin, we spent many hours in the years leading up to Jesus' death talking about the things that he said and did. You remember, of course, Nicodemus had once come to Jesus secretly at night. Nicodemus wanted to know from Jesus exactly where he got his power from to heal. How he could speak with such authority. And at that time, Jesus talked with Nicodemus. He told him about God's rule in his kingdom, which no one could really be aware of or even accept unless he or she was born again of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus and I went over that conversation again and again, trying to grasp what it all meant. We dwelt particularly on those amazing words Jesus spoke to Nicodemus when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that day when I saw Jesus on the cross, I remembered, too, that he had told Nicodemus that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I now know Jesus willingly suffered. Even the crucifixion. He knew it was his heavenly Father's will for our salvation, but I must confess that I was not as brave or vigorous in defending Jesus as I might have been. When I saw that even the Roman governor Pontius Pilate was giving in to the high priest and the crowd that they had stirred up to demand Jesus' crucifixion, I had to go to Calvary. I thought even then he might strike them down and walk away free. He was capable of it. He could have done it. But I didn't really understand God's plan for salvation. Not yet. Stood there and watched it all. I heard Jesus' words of comfort for others from his cross. I watched the crowds mock and jeer him, then fall silent as deep darkness came over us. And I heard Jesus' words, "It is finished." And his final shout, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died that Friday, just before sunset. I knew then that I had to do whatever I could to give Jesus a decent burial. It was the least that I could do. So Nicodemus and I gathered up what courage we had, and we went directly to Pontius Pilate and asked for Jesus' body so we could bury him. I had a tomb. Above ground, nearby, I had prepared for my family's use, but no one had ever been buried in it. when we asked Pilate for the body, he couldn't believe Jesus was already dead. So he sent a soldier to go make sure that that was the case, and it was. And then and only then did he give his consent. So Nicodemus and I took the body. The servants carried it to the tomb. We had to hurry because it was almost sunset, the beginning of the Sabbath, on which no Israelite can work. So we did the best we could. We wrapped the body in linen, laid it in the tomb. Our servants rolled the big stone down the track to set in front of the doorway. And Mary Magdalene and some of the other Galilean women followed us as we took the body, and they promised they would do a better job of embalming Jesus' corpse after the Sabbath. But as you know, that would not be necessary. Praise God, Jesus rose from the dead after the Sabbath. It was a miracle that none of us had expected, though Jesus had told his disciples on the third day he would rise again. How much clearer we see now what God was doing than we understood 6 months ago. The Holy Spirit who poured out on Pentecost his presence and the gift of a fiery faith made a tremendous difference. And so did seeing Jesus after his resurrection and listening to his teaching for 40 days until he ascended into heaven. That clarified some things as well. We still have much to learn, but we want to tell everyone that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is our Savior. How wonderful it is to know Jesus lives. He is risen. He walked out of my tomb alive. Do you know what that means? Because he did, someday, so will I. And you as well.